topic for our community connection this morning, brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. I get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time this morning talking with candidate for the 3rd Congressional District, Murray Mark Thibodeau. First of all, thanks for coming in, sir.
Thank you, Charlie.
And happy to have you in here this morning. I've spoken with the 1st District candidates for quite some time because Mr. Bridenstine was up for the NASA job, so we were thinking there might have even been an election last November, but Mr. Bridenstine now, of course, moving on with NASA, so we'll try to fill that 1st District job as soon as we can. 3rd District, you are running as a Republican challenger to an incumbent. Your home is just outside of Tulsa in Osage County. Nice to have you here this morning, sir.
Charlie, it's great to be here. Beautiful day.
Looking at just a little bit about you, about your background, and I try to cover this somewhere early when I first talk with any candidate. This is about the longest job interview I think you can have because the voters get to say, as opposed to some corporate hiring official or member of a school board or whatever. What made you decide to pick up this task and run for Congress?
I'd actually been considering this for a number of years. Seriously considering it 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's when I began planning for this. But I guess my real desire developed over the last 6 years as I've been a board member of our local fire department, the mm-hmm. Black Dog Fire Department, my mm-hmm. community. And there I saw where just a small group of men, dedicated and focused, very little resources, just a lot of determination, we're able to make vast improvements over our system and not only increase the safety of our community, but save our community millions of dollars in their homeowners insurance because our efforts raised our codes so much on our fire department that everyone's homeowners insurance most time got cut in half.
That is a significant, those codes go from 1 to 9, and 9 is typically the smallest rural fire departments where, again, you have sometimes a long distance to cover and takes you a while to get to wherever the fire might be. Urban departments, typically Tulsa, I don't know if they're a 3 or a 2, but whatever they are, they get a really high rating because they've got fire department stations full-time all over the place and everything. Then they range all in between.
Right, and they've got the resources to do that. We went from a 9 to a 5.
Okay, that's a
very significant. And that only came about through the determination and hard work of our board and our firefighters. And the community also supporting us. So mm-hmm. we're very proud about that. And I saw that, it doesn't take a whole lot of people to make huge changes. And the opportunity came up where I had the time available and I have the resources available to work on a particular project. So and also consider running. So I stepped into the ring.
Okay, well, we'll hear more about that project, I'm sure. Looking at 3rd District, it is vast, from the Phillips Research Center here just on the edge of town all the way to the Colorado state line.
That's 34,000 square miles.
It is.
It's huge. One of the largest in the country.
Yes, it is. And certainly that covers approximately the same number of people as our other 4 districts. But if you look at square miles, it's among the largest in the country, like you said. Although 2nd District on the other side covers, again, north to south state line and from just east of Tulsa all the way to Missouri and Arkansas. Yeah. So
I was speaking with a candidate for District 1. Mm-hmm. Last week, and I said, you've got it easy. You've only got to drive about 40 miles,
Yeah, it's
so he for some reason he wasn't that amused.
I did. He kind of looks at the same number of people that you would like to serve, but you go a lot further. But then technology will give you the opportunity to do things like telephone town halls and maybe get together on some sort of a video chat system. I don't know, but I'm sure technology will be better 6 years from now than, or even 4 years from now than it would be today.
Definitely, but it is sort of a problem to get groups together.
Yeah.
If you go to a town, there's only 5,000 people in that town, it can be difficult to get a small group for a meeting or whatever. So I'm happy to go anywhere that I'm invited to go, and I'll be going next week to a town, and they're telling me there's going to be 12 people at the meeting.
Those are 12 important votes. when it comes to, of course, the task of Congress, the House has the power of the purse, which basically you could say sets the funding priorities for the entire federal government, whether it's Department of Defense or the Internal Revenue Service or, streets and roads projects, highway projects across the country. So that's, some pretty good responsibility for anybody with a vote with the power of the purse. What are your funding priorities, sir?
I haven't really sat down and made a list of like my priorities for funding.
Okay.
But as most people seeking this type of position will state, is that they believe there's waste in there that needs to be addressed, mm-hmm. and you have to kind of ferret that out and remove it. Obviously, I like the idea of funding programs for communities that are essential, again, like firefighting departments, education, things like that, medical and health.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of things that are being spent that we probably aren't, aren't aware of, and they probably need to be done away with. I'll give an example. It's not government related, but it kind of drives the point.
Okay.
And that is, I worked for a company called Wiltel that later became WorldCom, and one of my coworkers, her name is Mary, her job was to go and look for disabled or disconnected data lines that were used at one time, and then either the customer went away or things shifted or whatever, and the company was still paying for.
Mm-hmm.
So they may have had a customer that needed a particular data service. That customer's contract maybe ran out or they moved or whatever. And for some reason, the disconnect never went in. And so her job was just to go and find all these kind of like loose ends.
Mm-hmm.
And there were millions of dollars that were being spent every month on services that weren't being used. Well, in a corporation, this type of behavior is normal. You have people that go and look for basically places where you're bleeding,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of plug the leak.
Yeah.
In politics, it seems like that's almost shunned a little bit because somebody's getting that money and they're going to like, hey, I'm getting that money. I don't want you to take it away from me.
No, that's my money.
So there's not the same type of incentives in government that there are in business. So we just need to look at looking from the outside in. I mean, obviously, when you step into any job, you learn that there's the internal mechanics and internal structure and policies that are in place that you don't get to see from the outside. And so you've got to have to deal with that. There's always going to be tensions and turf wars and things like that. But I think the attitude in government is to kind of like keep the things going. And I think we need to just have more people in there saying, look, we're not using this anymore and let's take it out. Like, for instance, like in the farm bill, there was one thing I read about these sugar subsidies,
mm-hmm.
like $80 million a year in sugar subsidies. Well, in the big picture, $80 million a year for the federal government isn't much. But why? I mean, do they really need it? I mean, everything I looked at didn't really show that they needed that subsidy. I believe that probably subsidies are needed in other areas that maybe they can be justified,
mm-hmm.
to kind of fend off some protectionist type pricing maybe other governments drag us into. But these types of things just need to be addressed, and you're always going to be kind of like butting heads because, unlike in a business where your goal is to save money, in politics it seems like your goal is to keep the money flowing.
I think anybody that has worked for or with a federal agency, I'll just take my own military service time. Nearly every near the end of fiscal year, agencies, each department rather, kind of is expected to have a budget of things that we've put off the purchase for, or something that needs upgraded, because we don't know how much money will have been spent for the quote necessary stuff. And somewhere around September 15th, last 2 weeks of the fiscal year, realize we haven't spent all this year's money. What do we need or want, or whatever term you want to use, because if we don't spend it this year, we won't get it next year. And that's like you said, preservation of the budget, so to speak.
Yeah, so it's just like, we need to just address that. And that's a tough thing, because it's a fight, because every time, let's say I go and I'm asking, oops, let me turn this thing off.
Yours would not be the first nor last phone that offered that rings in here.
Excuse me. That broke my chain.
That's okay. Just with an example of preserving the budget. Same, you know.
Right.
So then, if I hear you correctly, you would be looking to go after, whether you call it a performance audit, a look at this is what the money is supposed to be going for. First of all, is it doing it, and is the purpose that the money is being spent actually being accomplished? Are people being helped? Are programs becoming more efficient? That sort of thing.
Right. And first off is, when you start looking at these things, you have to have the auditors help you and financial people help you identify these things. And then you have to look at each one individually and try to start cutting. But I'm more for like cutting than raising, as most people I think are.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not opposed to raising taxes. It's just I'm kind of opposed to raising taxes if I can't see there's a justification, especially when I know maybe there's waste that could be cut.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the whole thing is, there's these turf wars and people don't want to give up that money, like you said. And we just need to look at it a little bit more aggressively, I think. I think there's more people that think that like this now, so I think it may be easier to get done. I mean, I'm hearing a lot of Republicans think like this, Democrats think like this. I think in many cases they can find common ground and agree on some cuts on some of these programs that aren't necessary.
Again, we're talking with a candidate for the 3rd District Congressional seat, Marie-Mark Thibodeau. 1400 K1 Community Connection will continue in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process, which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
Again, talking with Marie-Mark Thibodeau, candidate for the 3rd District Congressional seat. Don't forget, tomorrow is the last day for you to be registered to vote in the primary. Before we went on the air, you and I were chatting, and you kind of come to things from a technology background, and you were telling me about a proposal that you want to put before people and see how it works.
Yes, Charlie. I've been in technology my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I got my degree in business with sort of a emphasis in computer science. When I graduated from college, I moved to Dallas, started selling computers, and I went to work for a communications company where we built like Ethernet boards and Ethernet hubs out in California, other communications equipment. I did first tech support there. So, I mean, I handled over 6,000 tech support calls for the first couple of years. Then I became a product manager where I actually worked with the development teams to develop these new products and did very well there. A couple of my products got PC Magazine Editor's Choice Awards.
Okay.
While I was there. And then I moved to Tulsa and went to work for Wiltel.
Mm-hmm.
And worked in their telecommunications area, again, with a focus on computer communications and tying computers together, things like that. And then also got involved with the internet. So, yes, I'm very steeped in technology. It's sort of like the bits are in my blood.
Okay. You had some ideas that I think you wanted to bring forth to the voters and kind of get people involved, if I understand what I think we're talking about this morning.
That's correct. One of the things I've been frustrated with as a citizen and a voter is that in many cases I would hear of a law that maybe got passed or was up for review, or and it was like, oh, it already got passed. And it's like, well, gee, I didn't know that was up. I wish I'd have known. And you find out that a lot of these things happen without our knowledge. I mean, you kind of trust that your representatives or your senators are going to let you know, but in many cases they don't. Maybe they're too busy. Maybe they don't want you to know. I don't know. But I felt like there's no need for that now. Under the past, where the way things worked, effective communication with thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people was difficult. It's not that way anymore, especially with technology and mobile phone technology. So I started thinking of how could I solve this problem of communication between our politicians and the voters. And I came up with this idea, again, about 4 years ago, and no one has ever done anything with it. And so when it came time for these elections to roll around, I went, you know, I think it's time I do something with it.
Okay.
No one else is doing anything with it. I am. So I developed this app. I'm currently working on it. It should be finished in just a few weeks. But it is an app that will be available on the iTunes Store and also the Google Play Store. Mm-hmm. So any smartphone user could download this app for free. And they'll be able to utilize this app to see what laws are currently pending in the House, what the name of this law or the bills, a description of it, my recommendation, and they'll be able to tell me how they would like me to vote.
Okay.
So yes, no, or can't decide.
Yeah.
And this should enable all voters that download this in Oklahoma and our territory to give me their feedback.
Sure. Some organizations do that for their members within their interest area. I'll pick on the American Legion for no good reason, other than I know they do a good job of it. They have a website that tells Legion members about bills having to do with veterans issues. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a Legion member or have interest in veterans issues, you can go to, I think they call it the burn pile, and you can see what bills are where and who has signed on as a sponsor already or who opposes it, and go from there. So you're magnifying that idea, but with an app where I can tell you my opinion.
That's correct. And, yeah. And the other thing about some of these other programs, for instance, like a gentleman showed me one from the NRA, mm-hmm. and he could send an email to his legislator. Yep. The thing I've been told
is, and some of the other, you know,
is that this is information gathered and sometimes colored sometimes by these people that are collecting it, because mm-hmm. they have their own interest and sure. agenda, and then they send it to the legislators without really the legislators' approval. Not to say that they don't want to see it or whatever, but here's what I've heard. I've gone to some of these government meetings. The legislators say they do not read email. They don't look at your email. They don't read your email. They don't want to. There's too much of it. But what they will look at is letters and take phone calls. Mm-hmm. I can understand that. There's a reason for that. Because in many cases, these emails could be coming from Russia and flooding you. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a bomb, you know, of just a flood of junk. So they don't know if your email is real or not.
Yeah.
And they don't have the time to sort through to find out if it's real or not. With my app, the Vote OK app, we'll be able to verify you are who you say you are. If you live on Main Street in Alva, Oklahoma, we can verify that by sending you a postcard. You get a secret code you put in your app. Now we know you're for real.
Mm-hmm.
If you were in Russia, you wouldn't get it. So we are able to sort our data into categories of verified users and non-verified users.
Mm-hmm.
So I would much rather have the opinion of 300,000 voters in my district than maybe 10 or 100 from a focus group or a polling group. Because you don't always know what these guys are trying to promote. With my app, it's strictly one-to-one. There is no middleman. This is my app. This is something that I want.
Yeah, sure.
This is something that I want to use to communicate with my constituents, and I am going to look at it.
Makes
so
good
I am going to be communicating with my voters, my constituents, like no other representative before.
That's great. Well, we are again talking with Murray Mark Thibodeau. He is a candidate for the 3rd District Congressional seat. And again, the 3rd District, we're talking Osage County all the way west and just about north to south, not quite, but pretty close to north to south in the state. Just again, how can people connect with you, find out more about your views, and make sure that they vote on the 26th?
Yeah. Well, my website is the best way to get in touch with me. It's got contacts and information about myself. Mm-hmm. And it's Murray2018.com. And that's Murray is M-U-R-R-A-Y 2018.com.
Thank you very much, sir. Best of luck on Election Day.
Thank you so much, Charlie.
Thank you very much. We've been talking with Murray Mark Thibodeau. He is a candidate for the 3rd District Congressional seat on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. Again, tomorrow, the last day for you to register to vote on the June 26th primary. News on the way in just a bit on 1400 K1.
You know, it's almost impossible to stay mad at someone that you pray for regularly. Would you take a minute?